Hi, you're listening to This Is Not Your Practice Life. I'm your host, Macy Renee, and we are going on a journey together, my friends. I'm a certified life and emotional intelligence coach. And if you really want to step into your highest self, there are a few non-negotiables you're going to have to learn. And I am just the person to help you do it. No matter your past, I'm here to help you create a more fulfilling future. So stick around with me. Not only will I teach you how to navigate your brain's daily mind drama, but I'll help you actually understand your mind, your emotions, why you do the things you do, and why others do the things they do. Most importantly, I'll help you build the self-awareness skills to create whatever results you want. It's never too late to change the trajectory of your life. After all, this is not your practice life. Good morning and welcome back to another episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. My name is Macy and I am so excited that you're joining me today from wherever you're listening from in the world. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast or welcome back. So today is going to be kind of an unconventional episode. It's not going to be the norm. And what I'm going to do is let you guys get to know me a little bit better. So when the podcast first released, I had an intro episode where I let you guys in a little bit about me. But it's been a long time since the podcast released. It's been years. And another reason I wanted to do this, not only for new listeners, but because I think it's important for us to really think about how we want to answer the question, who am I? Or when people say, tell me about yourself. Do you answer that question in terms of the roles that you play, or do you answer it in terms of, you know, who you are as a person and what you like and what your hobbies are and what you don't like? You know, the things about you that are more in depth, not just I'm an occupational therapist, or I'm a nurse, or I'm a doctor, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a teacher. You know, I think that's the normal way we answer. We answer in terms of the roles that we play. But if you were to take away the roles that you play in your life, how would you describe the person that you are? At a soul level, the things that light you up, the things that excite you, you know, all of the things that are important to you. It's not that we can't be defined by our roles, but it's so much deeper than that. We are so much more than the roles that we play. And the reason I bring this up is because I used to answer that question in terms of my roles. When someone would say, tell me a little bit about yourself, Macy, I'd be like, well, I'm an occupational therapist, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter, I'm a great-granddaughter and a granddaughter. You know, I would just talk about my roles. So I wanted to give you an idea of what it means to really deeply explore the parts of yourself so that maybe you can do this and maybe journal about this within yourself and really get to know yourself and how you would explain yourself to someone who says, tell me a little bit about you. But also a way for you to get to know me better. You know, who is the person behind all of these podcast episodes? What is she like if you were to meet her in person, at least from my perspective? Now, people who meet me may have a completely different idea of, you know, who I am, or they might describe it differently, but I'm going to share with you the things that I know about myself, and hopefully it's just an enjoyable, relaxed episode of Get to Know Macy a little bit better. All right, so let's talk in terms of personality. I love taking personality tests. I know that there's a lot of people that believe it's woo-woo and not really a thing, but if there's a personality test that I can take, I've probably taken it. And so I know this will speak to the people who are into it like me. And if you're not, none of this will make sense. But when I take a Myers-Briggs, I'm an INFP, the mediator, and it fits me to a T. In human design, if you know about that, I'm a 2-4 splenic projector. I am an Enneagram 2 wing 3, And as far as it goes with like horoscopes and sun signs and moon signs, I am a Libra sun, a Scorpio moon, and a Leo rising. So that's a little bit about my personality if you're into that kind of thing. Beyond that, something else that I would say about myself is I have an eye for detail. I notice things that most people probably don't, and I pay attention and I'm very observant. Something that I find important to do is I love remembering the little details about people or things that will help me show love and appreciation later. So for example, if I see someone that I love and adore, maybe they're an acquaintance or a friend, if they say that they love a certain type of wine and they post about it, or a bourbon, or their favorite type of flower, it's not rare for me to go to the notebook section of my phone and write it down, favorite colors, all of those things, so that when there comes a time where I want to gift them with something, it's something that they nonchalantly said that they've probably not thought about again, but I can remember it. I love thoughtful things like that. And I think it's because I love to be shown love that way. Like I love to be loved that way. I love when people are thoughtful and observant and they pay attention to little things. That is one of the traits and qualities in friendships and people in my life that just, it blows me away every time, because there's a lot of people in the world who are maybe not that observant. So I really do appreciate also when it is reciprocated. And it's not that anybody that I'm doing it for has to reciprocate it to me. That's not what I mean. I mean, in general, when this is a personality trait of someone and they're very similar in that they pay attention and they're a great listener and, you know, they are thoughtful, and they show that in little ways, it means a ton to me. So some examples are like whenever I go home, a lot of times my closest friends will have their pantry or their refrigerator stocked with something that they know I like. So when I go to one of my best friend's house, she always has the coffee creamer that I love using in my coffee, even though I never ask her to get it for me. And another friend of mine, I went home, you know, just a previous weekend for my middle sister's baby shower. And she was like, oh, I was at Trader Joe's and look what I got you. And she goes over to the counter and it was their chocolate ganache cake that I die for. I never really allow myself to get it, you know, here at home because I can eat the whole thing by myself. I would probably eat one every single day. But I love that, like the thoughtfulness, because I don't even remember telling her that I loved it. I'm sure that I did, or maybe she even saw it on like one of my Instagram stories, but just the fact that she was like, I thought of you and I got this, just really, really sweet. And I've had clients do that. Like I used to be known for my love of avocados. I still love avocados, by the way. Like I could eat avocado in every way, shape, or form. And so I feel like the way that I was branded for many years was by people knowing I love avocado. And sometimes people would ask me for my address, even people that I like was not super close with, and they'd send me like an avocado blanket or avocado ornament or like an avocado shirt or something, because they're like, every time I see an avocado, I think of you. And so I just think that that's super special. I love when people do that. It's something that makes me really happy. I also am a big words of affirmation person. So when people have sweet words to say, it's not that I need the validation at all, because I am pretty good about validating myself and knowing who I am and not really needing that. But I do notice that I really genuinely do love it. And I've also had to practice being a recipient of it, because there was once a time where when people would compliment or express thanks for something that I had done, I would really be like, oh, you know, thanks, you too. Like I would always have to give the compliment back. Like I couldn't just accept it and say thank you. And so one of the things that I've worked on the last few years is when I'm complimented or when someone has something nice to say, simply being in the awe of it or the appreciation of it, and even sometimes the discomfort of it, and just simply saying thank you. But it always makes me feel really, really good. I am a sweet tea / unsweet tea fiend, you guys. I feel like anybody close to me knows this about me, but I grew up in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, to be exact. And in Kentucky, you're a tea drinking person, typically. Now, whether it's sweet or unsweet is always a battle. But I used to be addicted horribly to sweet tea. I would drink it every single day. And in the last few years, I've really tried to cut back on how much sugar I'm consuming because I still want the tea. So now I have this ratio where it's 1/3. It's a very specific ratio. My clients, you like laugh at the retreats when we're all together because they're like, I know you got that ratio, girl. But it's 1/3 unsweet tea and 2/3 sweet tea. And that to me is the perfect ratio, and no ice. We do not do ice over here because it waters things down. My teeth are very sensitive anyways. I hate ice in drinks. So this is another example of like if someone randomly 6 months from now was like, I got you. And by the way, my favorite place to get tea is Raising Cane's. I do love Chick-fil-A and Zaxby's as well, but Raising Cane's is my favorite. So for instance, if 6 months from now, someone was like, hey girl, I got you, a half sweet, half unsweet. Well, actually I did the ratio 1/3, 1/3 unsweet and 2/3 sweet and no ice. Like immediately we're BFFs because I'm like, oh my gosh, they pay attention. I love them. I feel like they love me. This is really a great thing. That's totally a way to my heart. I'm a tea girl. I am also very creative. I love craftiness and doing crafty things. Before I got into coaching, some of my other businesses, I guess you could say, I once did cakes from scratch. Well, I made the cakes from a box, but I did fondant cakes and I made the fondant from scratch in every color imaginable. And would make cakes for people for birthdays, graduations, all of the things. And I was really good at it. I still sometimes am asked, and this has been probably 10 years ago that I did cakes, but sometimes I'm still asked by people if I will do a cake. I don't, by the way, but I loved it. I flipped furniture for a while. I thought I wanted to be Joanna Gaines and had an interior decorating business for a little bit right before I settled on coaching and realized that that's what I actually wanted to do. So I love creative things, but really only if it remains something I can do in a creative fashion, not for money. Because I learned whenever I attach pricing and people's wants and desires with my creativity that I feel more limited. And so it kind of does the opposite for me. I really like to have a blank canvas on whatever I'm doing with no rules, and my creativity flows really, really well. So I love anything crafty. If I used to be a huge scrapbooker back in the day when scrapbooking was a big, big thing, I feel like maybe early 2000s or late 90s, I just love everything creative. I really, really do. It's so much fun. I listen to just about every type of music out there. The only type of music I really don't enjoy is when it has a banjo. I'm so sorry if you're a banjo player. I hope you don't hate me after this. But that's really the only instrument that doesn't vibe with me so much. But I can go from listening to 50s and 60s music to country to pop to punk rock to regular classic rock, to a spa radio, to Christian music. Like, I genuinely love it all. My favorite genre, though, if I had to pick a genre, would be 90s music. But I love rap. I love everything. There's really not a type of music that I don't enjoy. But if you were to look in my playlist, you'd probably see a few different things. You're going to see rap and a lot of, like, Lil Wayne and Kanye West, who else? I mean, a big variety when I'm at the gym. I have to listen to rap when I'm at the gym. I cannot do pop music. It's not rough enough for me. It's not vile enough for me. I need the, I don't even know how to describe it. However you would consider rap, that's what I need in my ears when I'm trying to lift heavy weights or when I am dying on the Stairmaster. If you catch me in my car driving down the expressway, it's probably going to be 90s. I do love listening also to spa music. I'm really weird. Like at night when my brain feels like it's buzzing and overwhelmed with all the thoughts of being an entrepreneur, the first place that I will go oftentimes is into my spa album. So much like massage therapy music where you hear when you're getting like massage or acupuncture. Or I'll go to YouTube and I'll listen to like healing frequency music or Reiki music to calm my body down. So that's a little bit about me as far as music goes, but I really love all of it. I'm not going to be mad at basically any genre that people play. One thing that drives probably my family and friends, but especially my husband crazy is, and I think this is a childhood trauma response that maybe I haven't healed from, but I like watching the same movies and shows that I've already seen 800 times over and over and over again. I could see a movie, or I could have seen a movie 72 times, and then there could be a movie I've never seen, and I'm gonna choose the movie that I've seen 72 times. It drives my husband insane. He's like, why can't you ever watch brand new shows or movies? And just PS, I can, but the anxiety in my body of like not knowing what's gonna happen, I think it's a feeling of being out of control. And it's such a crazy thing because 99.7% of the time I end up loving the show or the movie that was picked, but it is a task for me to watch new things. It's so comforting for me to watch a movie or show that I've seen 100 times. And I'm pretty sure I've read that it's from a trauma response. Like your brain just wants to shut down and not have to take in new information or new things. So people who do that typically have had some trauma or challenging circumstances in their life, and they find it comforting to turn on something that's predictable so that their nervous system can relax during it rather than be on edge for whatever reason it might be on edge. And it doesn't even have to be like a scary movie or, you know, a very intense dramatic show. It's just a matter of if we've seen it a million times, that feels better. So one of my friends pointed that out to me years ago. She was like, do you notice that you always watch like old movies that you've seen 100 times and you're hesitant to watch new things? And I'm like, really? And my husband's like, yeah, I've only been telling you that for years. So that's something that maybe would drive people crazy. They're like, why do you want to watch Titanic or The Notebook when you've seen it 100 times. And I'm like, because I'd rather watch that than a movie I haven't seen. But anyways, oh, and also when I get, or if I do watch a new movie or new show and I love it, then I will go watch it a million times. So it's quite annoying for the people who want to watch TV in the same room as me. One of my quirks that I wish wasn't a thing sometimes is my desire to eat at restaurants that are more quiet and the inside is clean and not chaotic. There's relaxing music. There's an ambiance, like pretty decor. I'm very big on my environment. Like in general, I'm like that. Like my house, there's a certain aesthetic that I feel best in. And I'm sure most people can relate to this. Like everybody loves their home usually the most because of how it's decorated and how it feels and the colors and all of that stuff. But I'm also that way when I eat out somewhere. Like when I'm going to be eating a meal, it needs to be clean. It can't be stinky, or I really will get up and leave. My husband and I both, I can't deal. So sometimes my family is like, you're being bougie. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is going to be one of those things where I just let you judge me because I need it to feel clean and comfortable and preferably not super chaotic, unless I know I'm going somewhere where it's like there's a bar and there's going to be games on and I know that it's that kind of vibe. But if I'm trying a new restaurant, like I usually do read the reviews ahead of time to see what's the ambiance. I look at the photos and things like that. I'm very much kind of picky about that kind of stuff. And I prefer eating outdoors over indoors at like 100 out of 100 times, even in the heat. And that's another thing that sometimes can, like, I either find that people are on the same page as me and we become friends really fast because they want to eat outside too, or sometimes it's people like my husband where he's like, really, Macy, like it's 96 degrees. Please don't make me eat outside. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, oh, I don't want to eat in the air conditioner. It's cold and it's dark and it's loud. You know, and outside it's light and it's airy and it's windy and the birds are singing. And he's like, yeah, and we're also going to sweat in our food. But seriously, I love eating outside. I think that's why I also loved Italy so much when we went. I think it was 2018, because most everything is outside. And even if it's an indoor half-covered restaurant, most of it is like fully open to where you can still feel like you're outside. So I think that's why my love for Italy runs deep. Specifically, Como, Italy is one of my favorite places in the world. I absolutely love sleeping. I didn't ever used to because I had to be a busybody, but I found that when I really started healing my nervous system and loving myself and who I was and who I am, it became easier for me to rest and be still. And so one of the things that I find for my clients when they've had a lot happen in their life is sometimes they're very busy, like they have to be busy all the time. They want to be busy all the time. Even if they feel overwhelmed and they maybe don't want to be busy all the time, they'll find ways to fill up their calendar. And it's because they can't sit still, because if they sit still too long, their thoughts are going to, you know, spiral, or they're going to have to feel their feelings. And because that is so uncomfortable, rest and sleep is very hard for them. And since I used to be that way, and I have since worked on myself very, very hard the last decade, but specifically with coaching the last 8 years, I find that I love resting. I love nothing more than crawling into my bed of purely white sheets because it feels the most clean and cozy, and crawling in bed with my hotel-like pillows and snuggling in and sleeping. And while we don't have kids, I'm going to take full advantage of the fact that I can, for the most part, nap and be unbothered, minus my 3-pound Yorkie, who is, you know, pretty demanding. He's kind of a diva, but that is a little random quality about me as well. My favorite dessert is creme brulee. If I see it on a menu, I want it almost always, and I will try just about every creme brulee that exists. I'm not a big dessert person, so there are very few desserts that get me excited, but creme brulee is definitely one of them. And I'm not much of an ice cream fan, unless it's like a specialty ice cream that's fancy, right? Like it's got special, like, I don't know, cookie crumbles, or it's a unique flavor. But the reason being is just because my teeth are sensitive. I don't really like the cold, aka I get my teas without ice. And so ice cream is kind of a torturous activity. It's not lack of loving the flavor. It's just kind of like, it feels like torture eating it, so it better be worth it. You know? What else about me? I am definitely more holistic than probably most people out there. People sometimes call it crunchy, but if there's an essential oil I can use in place of an over-the-counter medicine, that's what I'm going to do. If there's a vitamin or supplement I can take instead of some, you know, form of traditional medicine, that's what I'm going to do. If I can see a holistic practitioner instead of a traditional, you know, Western medicine doctor, that's what I'm going to do. And a lot of the reason is because I worked in healthcare most of my life before I left for coaching. I worked, you know, in a physical therapy for years. And then I worked with special needs kids for years while I went through grad school to become an occupational therapist. And then I practiced occupational therapist for years before I became a coach. And so I have seen a lot of the back end of healthcare and our healthcare system. And just to be completely frank with you, I'm not a fan, not a fan. So if I can get acupuncture or massage or any kind of complementary or alternative medicine in place of traditional medicine, that's usually my first go-to. Now, that being said, I'm appreciative for the advancements that we have in traditional healthcare, but my ultimate goal with mental, emotional, and physical health is to not have to lean on it as much or at all. So if there's another method that I can try to manage, you know, any of my healthcare concerns, then I typically try to do that first before seeking traditional healthcare. But that's just me. If I see a baby or a toddler, I am that weirdo in the grocery store that's going to wave, smile, or if appropriate, engage. Like if they're waving, you know, at me, I'm going to wave at them. My favorite age for kids is birth to about age 5. But as a pediatric occupational therapist, my specialty was birth to age 3. So that's who I worked with for 6 years before I left to be a coach. And it's my absolute favorite age, especially when they hit about I would say like 16 months to 3 years old. I know that for a lot of parents are like, oh, it's the terrible twos or it's the terrible threes. I love every second of it. The chaos, the mayhem, the sweetness, the innocence, the testing the boundaries, all of the things. It is my absolute favorite age for kids. Okay, what else? I want to wrap this up. It's like enough about myself. Some of the last things I will say is I am stubborn AF. I am relentless. When I set my mind to something, I'm going to figure out how to get it. And if someone tells me I can't or I won't be able to, then it's probably a good possibility or probability that I am going to figure out how to make it happen. And not out of spite, but just because I am very, very stubborn. So when I set my mind to something, I really do believe that I can achieve it. I'm a huge dreamer and I don't know, my spirit is just super stubborn. And if you're new here, you probably don't know this, but my mom was a teen mom. She got pregnant with me at 15, had me at 16. And there's a whole story around all of that. But my grandparents thought my mom was too young to be a mom. And they actually made her have an abortion, and the abortion didn't work. So I always joke that that's my level of stubbornness. When something that has a 97% success rate doesn't take me out or didn't take me out, I just imagine myself being stubborn, the most stubborn soul. And I see that in my day-to-day life. And it's probably the number one thing that my husband tells me all the time is, my God, you are so freaking stubborn. And I'm like, I know. Sometimes it's a blessing and sometimes it's a curse. And sometimes it's a curse for the people that are around me because, again, if I set my mind to something, I'm going to do my darnest to figure it out and make it happen. And the last thing that I will say, so this is no longer a me conversation, but I love people, genuinely. I love getting to know people on a deep level. It's probably why I'm a coach and why I do the type of coaching that I do with emotional intelligence work. I genuinely want to know you. I want to know your story. I want you to tell me the details. I want to know it all. I'm a person that loves depth. I want to know your biggest dreams. I want to know the things that scare you. I want to know what your limiting beliefs are. I want to help you through it and I want to help you overcome it. I love people. And even the people that are maybe not so good in this world, or they don't do good things, I should say, not that they're not good, but maybe they don't do good things, I can find such compassion even for those people. I really do love people. All of that to say, though, I have a limited capacity of how much peopling I can do before I have to absolutely recharge. My energy meter is limited, so after interacting even a few hours, I often have to retreat. Sometimes that means days at a time to like replenish and ground myself and feel rested and fully recharged. But I do genuinely love human beings. And yeah, I think that my love for human beings is what makes my job as a coach just feel so good. Like, I'm not the person that's like, I hate people or I don't want to be around people. And I find too that even the most challenging of souls, there's still a desire to know them and their story and like what has created such a hardened shell. A hardened outer shell. And if someone's willing to let me in, I will go to the depths with people to get to know who they are. So surface level is not really my thing. And I always ask that my clients, like, especially for one-on-one coaching, I'm like, just be honest. Like, you can just tell me the truth. There's probably nothing you can say that I haven't heard in 6 years of coaching. And, you know, I think, what am I going on? 9 years of being an occupational therapist, 6 years practiced. I mean, I worked with over 400 families as a pediatric occupational therapist. And my role as someone who worked with birth to three was to go into their homes. And some of those people I worked with for weeks, some of them I worked with for years. And that means that's the most intimate place where you can really get to know someone, which is part of why I even went into the field of occupational therapy that I did in pediatrics. Because as a student, I got to practice in a lot of different settings. I got to practice in halfway houses. I got to practice in, hospitals, inpatient rehab, neuro clinics, like with traumatic brain injury, stroke rehab, nursing homes, school systems, all of the things. Like, there's so many opportunities and experiences you can have as an occupational therapist. And students, we were really placed in every type of setting so that we could see all the places where we could work after school, mental health, eating disorder clinics. I mean, really, an OT can be in any setting. So you never really get bored. And that was part of what appealed to me in the career. But the reason that I loved the birth to age three early intervention setting was because I loved being able to get to know the families. I loved getting to know mom and dad and grandma or aunts or uncles or whoever the caregiver was. I loved being like a little piece of their life and in their family. And I loved being able to get to know them through each session, you know, week after week or month after month, whenever that would happen. Because, you know, when you're in a hospital setting and someone's only there for maybe a 4 or 5 day stay, or maybe even a 2 week stay, you don't get to see the full picture, but you get to really see family dynamics and how things work when you're in someone's personal, private environment. You see everything. And because of my level of depth and how much I love people, that really filled up my soul. It taught me so much and I loved it. I just really loved it. And so I think that's why I love coaching the way that I love coaching. I love getting to know you. So it's an honor and it's a privilege. And I just want to thank you for being here and listening to this long podcast episode about me. So hopefully now you know the woman behind the podcast and the little, you know, fun facts and things like that. But I love what I do and I appreciate all of you being here and supporting the podcast. And yeah, that's it for me. I'm going to stop talking about myself, but I hope that you all have an amazing week. And I will be on here next week to talk to you again. And if you need any help or you need coaching of any capacity, go to MacyRenee.com, schedule a free 60-minute consult, and we will talk about what options may be best for you and if coaching can be something that really helps you in your life. All right. Bye, guys. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. If you'd like to connect on social media, you can find me on both Instagram and Facebook at Macy Renee Coaching. And if you want to stay up to date on all of my offers, announcements, and inspirational emails, you can join my email list at macyrenee.com. In addition, if there's a way that I can further support you in your coaching journey, you can schedule a free 60-minute consult at macyrenee.com anytime you want so we can discuss the best options for you. I look forward to seeing you next week, and I hope you have an amazing day. Bye.